Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you truly, Lord, for one of these days, and it is fast approaching, Lord, to see the Redeemer of the Lord coming back to Zion. As that's for Israel, Lord, they're going back, they're coming back. And we thank you, Lord, for you, for us, Lord, for your grace in our life, that for us, that we have already come back to thy word, to the Zion of life, the glorious hill, the glorious mountain of eternal life. We thank for this precious word, Lord. Even now, I have taught us over the years, when we see all the signs that the Bible foretold come to pass, Lord, we are to lift up our head, for our redemption draweth nigh. And we have for years, Lord, looking towards Mount Zion, where cometh our help, and you have never, Lord, forsaken your people. And we thank you, Lord, that you have always been around to help us, Lord, in times of need. When we are down low in spirit, Lord, you are there. When, Father, we have a certain need, Lord, in this life, you provide an answer for us. We seek not our will, Father. We seek thy will, that thy will be done in our life, Lord. And we thank you for the purpose, Lord, of our being redeemed into the family of God. We thank you, Father, for showing us your plan and your purpose in this life of ours. We thank you today, this morning, for us to be here again, just for a little time of refreshing in the Spirit of the Lord. 24 hours a day, 7 days in a week, and we spend so much time, oh Father, Lord, to care for this dying fleshy body, Lord, that will one day just pass away. And yet, Lord, many times we fail, Lord, to take a little time off for Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, who took time to die on the cross for us. We are ashamed, Father, for not doing that which we ought to do. Let that be a lesson in our hearts, Lord, that we can learn from King David. A man after your own heart, even for all his weakness, Lord, and his sin that he had committed, he looked to you and repent. And how much he loved you, Lord, because of your grace in his life, your mercy in his life. And he could said it with great joy and great praise, O Lord, to your name, when he said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So let it be, Father, in the hearts too, Lord, to be like King David, a man who found favor in your eyes, in your sight, Lord, and even among the people. So let us be also, Father, the apples of your eye. People who, children here, who found favor in your eyes, Lord, to be the apples of your eyes too. So Father, we commit this time to you now. Give us more understanding, Lord, and bring things to our remembrance of the great things you've done for us, of the great revelation and truth that you have shown to us, Father. Even just as Jesus told the disciple, those things that he had preached out there in parable are not meant to be understood by the common man. Men who are carnal, men who are intellectual, men who think they know. But because they are your elect, those that are drawn nigh to you, those who are your disciples, you will make known to them the mystery of the kingdom of God. So, Father, we thank you now for opening our eyes. So, bless us now, Lord, as you come into your word in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. All right, we finished off last Sunday now. Remember the title of our message is The Mystery of His Purpose. We have touched on the importance of God dealing with Israel as a nation. The calling of Abraham. And I said this last week that if Israel ceased to exist, if it ever ceased to exist, then the nations of the world will also not exist. We already showed that in Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 36. The fact is that the ordinances of God were passed away, Israel will cease to exist. If the ordinances of word of God, the words, the thing that God has given to Israel, because they are a peculiar people. So if these ordinances were passed away, then Israel will cease to exist. And if Israel ceased to exist, then we, as nations, whatever nations there be upon this earth, will also pass away, because there is no more purpose in God. If He had a plan, already had predestinated the thing that He had counseled with Himself, even before the world was, He had counseled that, and He had planned it with a purpose in all that which He was going to do, then He must carry it out. God said so, it will be so. God does not retract His word. When He said something that He will perform, He will do it. Especially when He makes a vow to His promise. Yes, sir. So let us look at one verse now. I believe, I was just thinking of it. It is impossible for God to lie. And I believe that is in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. I want you to know, you know, within my heart. Now, we know we're all going through trials. Now, every church that belongs to God. When I say church, I mean the call out ones. I don't mean the building. Every church that belongs to God, that God call out, even as a little group or a big group, if there will be a 500, not everybody in the church, they attend the fellowship, are also believers. But those that are gathered in any of the places, wherever it may be, those who are already His, He will make known the mystery. He will deal with them. They will go through trials and tribulations in life, persecutions. Now, this church is going through a lot of shoving, a lot of sieving. Because God is still perfecting us. And I always remember this. God does not deal with the group. He deals with you as an individual. I was watching that movie Left Behind last night. It was kind of funny. Because that's the denomination I did. When the rapture took place, all the little baby and children all disappeared. No children left behind. All children are taken away. All babies are taken away. So left only the adults. You know. So that's their understanding. And the movie showed that this girl went to the church that her mother attended. And when she was a little girl, yeah, she was attending the church, but nobody was in the church except the pastor. He says, how come you are still here? Because you are a pastor, you are always here. He said, I may know the word, but I don't live the word. I don't believe in it. I know the Bible, but I don't believe in it. I don't have that faith. So he was left behind. So that's the storyline.
No one said that it's true because God called individual. God dealt with Israel as a nation, but yet all of Israel are not Israel. See? The Exodus. It is believed that there are 400,000 men that came out of Israel. And you say 400,000 men, take one of them and say, had a wife, have children. So how many people came out of Egypt? That's how you will calculate. Okay? And then of course with mixed multitude they came out with them. The Persians, those are there who also slaves there. And some of the Egyptians may also want to follow them because they see the life of the Hebrew people. And yet, not all of them enter into the promised land. So just imagine, those are 20 and above, they all perish out there, those who do not believe in what Moses said, in what Joshua said. So same thing in this hour that we're living. We have Moses as a type here, Brother Branham, who called us out. And yet with Moses follows the Joshuaic ministry. So we have to believe what Brother Abraham showed to us. We have to believe what God through the fivefold ministry, the Joshuaic ministry showed to us. That's what we are supposed to do. And every one of us, we must have the revelation what God showed to Brother Abraham, and the revelation of what God is showing now through the fivefold ministry that is concerning the Word of God, not just any kind of a doctrine. And yet, by understanding this revelation, this mystery, it's your life and my life. Individually, you live your life as what God showed it to you. I cannot live your life for you. So if a church is going to go up in the rapture, it's not going to be everybody. It's for the individual who are ready for His coming. And I said this before, the problem in the church is not other, the other brother or the other sister. The problem in the church is you. What you make of yourself. Am I a blessing to the church? Am I a problem to the church? Am I contributing to the body of Christ, or am I not? You see, that's, if our mind is all in one accord, to do what the Word of God said to do, always placing God first in our life. We have to place God first in our life. If God is not first in our life, if you ever take second place, before your wife, before your husband, before your career, before your job, before whatever it is, and Christ is not the preeminence. You see. God knows your problem, but it's how you look at Christ. That's the thing. And so when you come to the Word of God, how important, always emphasize, how important is this Word of the Lord? And I really hate the idea, I hate that spirit of anyone who said, well, this is not necessary. That is not necessary. If what we see is true and you said that it is not necessary, you have disregarded God's word. You have actually despised the truth. Is it important when someone says that, yeah, you repent and you have to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? Oh, well, that is not so important. That is secondary. You might say that is secondary, that is true. When you say firstly, is repentance. Then secondary, you must therefore follow by water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. And then thirdly, you go and ask for the Holy Spirit to be in your life. So you don't say, this is secondary, and you just put it aside, and you say, all you need is repentance. Believe the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So people have all that idea to make the Word of God nullified by traditions. And that's why when I see this movie Left Behind, it was just 半年多, 就没有就是, you can love a little bit, but because that's the idea have been promulgated. Children of purpose to be innocent, they will all be raptured. You know. And all Christians who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will be raptured. And in the movie, of course, you see the chaos. The plane is going to crash and because there's no pilot and this and that. Cars without drivers. And so this is what presented. And that is what is being taught to the in the churches. The mystery is not understood until we get out from tradition. That's what the Bible tells us. Come out home, my people. And Jesus Christ rebuilt those elders for teaching what they call truth, which is the traditions of man. When they taught the traditions of man, they make the word of God no effect. Because people just go through a ritual. And you don't come to church on ritual. Not because Sunday, oh my, I have to go to church. Don't! You go to church because you, as I said, the king did it. Who are men who were just covetous. Because he saw a woman bathing, clean herself in the evening when he was walking along the wall of his palace and saw the woman far away in the village down below. She was bathing naked, she was beautiful. And he covered after her, rose at last after her. So much that he schemed to get a husband, put in the flower in the battle, knowing that that is the thickest battle and he would die. So he could marry her. And yet when God dealt with him, he didn't shrink from his responsibility. When he said how the son of prophet Nathan came to him and presented the case of the sheep, of a man who had so many sheep, a man who had just only one, and then he judged according to what was presented to him. And when Nathan said, you're that man. The judgment that he judged must fall on himself. When he said that, he has to carry out the same judgment upon himself. And that's what David was, a man after God's own heart. And when he was drawn close to the Lord, when he realized how God was dealing with his life, oh my, was such a different person altogether. Not unlike Saul. You see. So how important is the word of God? Here in Hebrews chapter 5 it says, or chapter 6, verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Two immutable things that it was impossible for God to lie. And the answer is found in verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no other greater, he swore by himself. That is the two immutable things. The first, his promise. He promised it, and because there's nobody else greater than him, he swore by himself. He took an oath. The promise and his oath. If you, God, can lie, you can tell him, God, you make a promise, and you are the Creator, you are the Almighty, and you swear by yourself, now you broke it. You're a liar. You can tell him, God, you're the greatest liar. But it is just impossible for God to lie. Because he's God. And if God could lie, where is hope then? That's why he says here in the next following, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. So if God could likewise the hope, nothing. See. We finished last week with with Romans. Let us go right now to 1 John chapter 2. Just bring some of this point here, I want to bring it out. We are talking about the mystery of his purpose. I think sometimes, when I was in the examines of God, and when the Lord actually restored me after I backslid for almost 3 years, and the Lord restored me back to the joy of his salvation, I thought I found joy in Cliff Richard, Elvis Presley, Ricky Nelson, all those pop singers, you know. You know what I'm talking about, huh? Yeah. I know, in those days, the pop song was quite kind of mild, not like what we have today. In those days, the young one, darling, we are the young one. You know, that kind of song, and it's very simple lyrics. And it was fun to sing, yeah, but I spent so much time in all that. Collection of song, and writing it down, and singing it. But when one day, just how that the Lord dealt with me, a sinner who was also collecting song with me, my neighbor asking, "Hey, Richard, I know they are Christian. You know, I've always been wondering about churches. You know, I always wanted to go to a church to see how they worship." And then the Lord just pointed me, I said, "Do you want to go to church? We can go tomorrow, this Sunday." He said, "Okay." And I went back on that day, as I told you in my testimony, the Lord had a message for me alone. Prodigal son, come home. You do not know how I felt on that day, sitting right behind the second row from the back, and the pastor was just preaching like this and pointing his finger, and I just sit down there with a trance, and I was just weeping. What do I see? I saw the hand just right in front of my hand, on my face. Prodigal son, come home. He was pointing here, pointing here, pointing there. Prodigal son, come home. And all that I see was just that tears dripping down. The whole room was just kind of blurry to me. I don't see people. I was just still ahead and I saw the hand of God. From that day on, oh my, I gave my heart to the Lord, so things changed. Then when I go out there I began to evangelize. I began to go out there in the botanic garden, on the roadside, and giving out tracts from door to door, house to house, and trying to preach as much as I can to people. We brought a lot of young people to the church, actually. You know, the only thing is always when you ask people, what is your purpose of being a human being? What is your purpose being born on this earth? You never asked to be born, yeah, but you came to this world. And you raised up as a baby, a toddler, to primary school, to secondary school, to high school, whatever you're going. And then you work, you married, and then you get children, and then also you grow old, and then you passed away. What is this purpose in life? Of course, to many of us, many people, they do not know. I just exist. And if you want to ask about Christian people today, what is your purpose? Yes, your existence. What is your purpose? Huh? The thing is that you don't have a purpose. Obviously, you came into the world. If you come to the world with a desire, your father and mother, and your father and mother say, "Oh, I have a purpose. I'm going to have a son, and I'm going to make him a doctor." Is that what it is? Yeah, you know, a lot of people that have children, want their children to be doctors, to be scientists, whatever, turn out to be that they study until in the direction the parents want them to go, but at the end of it, they turn around. What did they do? They go into a career that is the opposite of the father and mother's desire. Right? For example, I don't know what was the desire of Brother Paul for Daniel, and he ended up becoming a drama player. And how about this young man here, Luke? I don't know what the parent desire for you. And whatever your desire is, even your desire right now, in the end you might not do what you study for. Like Zoe. Because any degree, what does she do with any degree? Now she go and deal with pants. See? So, we do not know, and neither do you know, and what's your purpose in life. But the thing is this, we are here because of God's purpose in our life, not the purpose in our own life. That's the mystery of it all. You see. Well, go on. Let's go on. First John 2, verse 15 to 17. Here right now, I want to hold it to this when we talk about Revelation 3, 17, 11. Remember, I said, hold fast to the crown. Right? Don't let the enemy take it away. And the Bible here is dealing with God's people. And I always say this is God's love letter, not to the world, but to a people who belongs to God. When you write a love letter to John, you know you write it to your girlfriend, right? Isn't it? You write to someone you love, you don't write to a stranger you do not know. And so this book that we have is God's love letter to us. God speaking in a language that we should learn to understand. And how can we learn to understand God's language unless we are also falling in love with Him? Huh? I don't know. When I was young in school, when they have certain group, and they would like to, what we call, code. They write in some kind of code that if the paper falls in the wrong hand, people really would not know. It's just that war, they have all this code, you know. So it's pretty interesting, you know, you try to decipher what on earth they are talking about. So the same thing of the Bible, it is not meant for everyone. Even Jesus spoke in parables, as I said, He spoke in parables, and to them is not make known the kingdom of God, but to you it is make known. So, what God presented on in this book, the scripture, black words on white paper. Anybody can read it. But the secret of the truth, the mystery is hidden under it. And only the Spirit could reveal to those that will learn. See. So, how important it is? The Bible says, first of all, love not the world. Now, as clear, we cannot love the world. None of the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passed away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the God abideth forever. He that doeth the will of the Father abide forever. If you love the world, the things of the world, your career, your wife, your girlfriend, whatever, more than anything else, when all those things perish, you perish with it. The love of God abide forever in those who do His will. Agape is real. You know, people think that God is so merciful, so full of grace. I believe in Him. If I sin, I confess. If I sin, I confess. Sin, confess. What difference does it make if you go to the confession box? Huh? Every time you do it, something is wrong with us. Or just like my grandson Adam. Boy, 2 days ago, he gave me a hard time. My wife a hard time, Zoe a hard time. It's Friday. So he was working late, pick up, came to our home to pick him up at 6:30, and I have to leave at 6:45 to come here. So he refused too much. He wanted to be carried, not as not much, but always to be carried. He refused to even sit in the plant, in the stroller. So I put a stroller, I said, okay, I carry you then. Carry you down. No. He wanted the mother to carry. And so he just came so tired. So he put him on the stroller. He cried and he yelled. And I was so upset, I go down there and said, pop in his face. And then pop his leg. I said, you keep quiet. He keep quiet. And he yelled again. He wanted his mother to carry and he sent the stroller back in, but he threw it. My wife also went to spank his leg, and Zoe also spank him again. We put him in the corner and said, you sit down. Then after that, he said, want to move again? Want to move now? When he moved him, he wanted my mother to be carried again. Yelled again. Ah, he gave me a really hard time. So we're going to spank him. I said, you quiet now. You know, you see, sometimes the Bible tells us we are no longer children. You know, we should grow up. I know he will grow up. This is a terrible two stage. Okay, he's 22, 23 coming up. And it's a terrible stage, terrible two. He will throw this temper and tantrum out. So we need to control him. Now, we are supposed to be adults. We know the truth that we are not babies anymore. And I think even Luke, young man as you are, I know you are no longer a baby. You learn from 1 year, two years in the Bible. You're 2 years in the Bible, don't tell me you're terrible too. Huh? You can throw temper tantrum at God. Oh, 3 years in the Bible, you know, in the truth. 4 years, you grow in grace. 5, and so on. What are we to do with the Word of God? How do we react to what what God's telling us? And when we through the temper tantrum, the behavior of singing this and doing that, again we come to God and I'm sorry, Lord. What then? I mean, God chastises us. He chastises us real bad sometimes. Because I know how God has chastised me before. And it can be very, very painful. Indeed. And you wouldn't like it. You know. So, we're all going through this world stage now. The whole world is just this, so stressful. Getting into the train station is so stressful. People are all, majority of people, a lot of them seem to be just on their own. People go to work like zombies, zoom, zoom. As the Bible says, people running to and fro. Where are they going? I was pushing Adam on a stroller to the mother-in-law's house. To Zoe's mother-in-law's house. Yesterday, going along under the track of this MRT station. And then there was no ramp. So it was 5-6 steps. And there were two men in the 30s and two women in the 30s. And they saw me trying to get down. None of them said, can I help you? Or bother help? No. None of them said anything. You know, that everybody just knew where to go. There was nobody else except them and me. So as I tried to get her down the step, here came a woman, at least she's about 50 years old. She came up, she Wapangia. You know, speaking Mandarin to me, this local. So I'm grateful for her to help carry down the step. You see how it is people today, a lot of people, it's all about themselves in this world. It's all about their family, their own self. Don't care about the rest. Self-preservation. Survival of the fittest or something like that. You know. This world will come to the place where it's going downhill to where Christ has to come back and put the whole world in peace. And then it will be a glorious time in the millennium where there will be a full of knowledge and the glory of God. Is that right? Huh? There will be love. There will be peace. People will care one for another. What a difference. the love of God meet in us. You see.
So, the three things that we all should know, right here in verse 16. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life.
Oh, these are the three things that gets a hold of people.
Lust of the flesh.
That's a carnal desire of the flesh. Whether it be for food, whether it be for sex,
any fleshly desire, it can satisfy the whole five senses.
That's what brought the fall anyway, that's why it was listed first.
The laws of the eye,
of course. What you see, you want, you covet.
Coveting is one thing. To see, you covet one thing.
Just like a brother from Africa, Nigeria, years ago, he came to Singapore. You know, he was a preacher at that time too, but I don't know about him now. So we collected a little offering for him, and he said, "Brigham, I want to go get me a mini combo." So I took him right down to Sim Lim Square. So he bought a mini combo. So a few days later again, he said, "Brigham, can you take me there again?" I says, "Why? What do you want to buy?" I said, "I don't have money to buy. I just want to last." I said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I just want to see a cupboard and just last with my eye. Just to see all those big combo, you know." So he just said, "I just want to satisfy what I see," he said, you know. So he was making a little joke out of that, and I said, "Yeah, okay, loss of your eye." So he was just looking at it, yeah, saying, "I'm this and this." I said, "Yeah," I said, "but of course you desire it, but you don't have money, you can buy it." And the third thing, of course, is the pride of life, and that is a very dangerous thing, huh? Pride comes always before the fall. So these are the things that you remember, just like King Saul. That's the pride of his life. He thinks he's king, so he cannot wait for Samuel to come and do the sacrifice. So he wants to act in the state of a priest. What? I'm the king, so let me do it. That's not your job. Your job is a king. Your kingship, you rule. But a sacrifice is the work of the prophet and the priest, not for you. So you know God will have to test sometime. Why was Samuel late? See? So God will test.
Alright. Let's go to another verse. Let's go right now to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. So now we need to understand that here God is wanting to prove your faith. I want to say this, it won't be easy for you, of course. Nothing in this life is easy. You know, Luke, when you were born, your mom struggled with you, prevailing. And when you are a little baby, just born out a few days old, your dad, I don't know, could not hear your scream, your cry. Probably had a hard time with you. Right? So just to have you is already not easy. The whole house, you are the king. Their attention is all focused on you. You see, so now, in one sense of the word, when we are God's people, God's attention is on us. Because He loves us, He cares for us. But don't always make God that could change us. Huh? You know, still thinking we are a baby. So God wants to prove your faith, how much you love Him. And we are living in an age right now, if you look at history, but in history, you'll see there's a lot of persecution. We see how Israel went through a lot of pain, a lot of persecution, a lot of trial.
even the rest of their history until today. They're still going through a lot of trials because they are rebellious people, and God hates rebellion. The Bible says rebellion is as witchcraft.
Huh?
God hated that. But you look at Abraham, he went through trial. You look at Noah, they went through a trial. Noah was steady. When he saw all that was going on, mixed marriages among your uncle, cousin, nephew, going mixed marriage with all those from the other side, woman from the other side, he remained steadfast and refused to get married. Until God had to give him Naaman. For what reason? Why? Even if there is no godly certain people left, they want to go the way of the other side. There must be some people over the other side who wanted to go the way of the Setite too. So now I want to say something here. Have you seen mug shot of a criminal? I mean, hardcore criminal. Not those who just steal and prefer and kleptomania stuff. No. Those are hardcore. Murderer. Real bad criminal. You see the mug shot, you see how their faces? You know how they look, huh? Have you ever walked the streets and then you see those are being type people? Those men who have funny haircut with their tattoo, you can see how the face, you know, the gangster kind of look. Have you seen that? Yes? Yes. Now, what is your perception? Sometimes we see, you know, my goodness, this guy is a real gangster, man. You know, we have this perception, we have this what do you call that?
Stereotype.
One time a brother wrote me an email. Not wrote me, but there was through me back then. He sent me a photograph of himself. He said he came to the message and all these things. And when I look at the photograph, my goodness, this guy, his face, he looked like a gangster. He looked like a criminal. You know, and when I was writing him, I was just saying, you know, I was just telling of the truth what I perceive. And I was saying that that is what human being will perceive of someone whose face looks like he is a bad guy. You know. And yet I was saying that God even said bad guy. No matter how good you look, you might even be a bad guy. So I was trying to tell him, you know, how God does not look at your face. You understand? He got a little upset, thinking that I was saying that he was a criminal. You know. And you see, that is what it is. God doesn't look at your face, whether you're handsome, you're pretty, and I'll tell you one thing for sure. The prettiest woman in the world today, they end up on the other side. You understand? A lot of pretty women end up in Hollywood, modeling and all that, and live that lavish lifestyles and get themselves into drugs and get themselves into all that thing. My face is my fortune, so she said. Yeah, your face is a fortune to what? For a rich man to marry you? Because you have a pretty face? That's why marriage, love, is not about the face. Love is about the heart. Isn't it true? I remember the story in the Chinese novel or story, Chao Tao Chua Shui Bo. You remember about that? You heard about that? Yeah. Chao Tao means smelly head. It means you have scabs. Scabs and whatever. The smell. So he's talking about a man with all that smelly head marry a beautiful wife. Because it's just a story how they relate themselves. You see? So a woman is not, this pretty woman is not falling for a rich man, she's just falling for that man because she loved that man, even though he has smelly head. And we are all smelly too, and God loves us. What is our response? Right? So, in this form of believing, faith is more needed than in any other age. Because what we are seeing, the coming of the Lord, we see all the things that's happening right now before our eyes. You see prophecy fulfilled. Every time we see, like, 2000, what year was that when the tsunami came? 2004. Oh, that is 11 years ago now. Is it 2004? No? The tsunami in Sumatra. The Aceh. I can't remember. 2004. Huh?
Boss's Day.
But it was during Christmas. After Christmas. But the thing is this, is that when the tsunami took place, the earthquake was so great. And then after, a lot of earthquakes started coming around. So we are looking at the sign. You know. So when we are looking at the sign like this, you know what? People were not thinking that you people are terrible. When you say about earthquake, you rejoice. And people are dying. We don't rejoice because people die because of earthquake. We rejoice, we are talking about the signs of the prophecy. Because Jesus said that these things shall increase. And you do a search in history. And so go Peter, read about it. Earthquake have increased. How many fold? Famine. Droughts. Wars. Think about the wars. First World War, Second World War, then how many wars start coming up? Not wars, just war between two big nations. Wars among nations. Cross-border wars. Pakistan and Afghanistan. India. East and West Pakistan, no more. Bangladesh on the east. Pakistan, West Pakistan, remain as Pakistan. North Korea, South Korea, split into two. Family was separated. What else? Down in the Philippines, or up in the Philippines, you have down in Mindanao, and then you have the Abu Sayyaf. They want to have their own autonomy. They want autonomy to rule them in the island. What do we have? Singapore is an example. Kick them out. So we will kick out. You have Sri Lanka. The Tamil Nadu are trying to fight for autonomy too. In Africa, time and time again, tribal war. Now you got Boko Haram up there in Nigeria. Sudan problem. Sudan, Yemen, Mogadishu, Liberia, Ivory Coast. There's so much problem all around. America themselves are not a divider between Democratic and the Republican over Netanyahu's speech. So when we see all this, what we look at, more faith is required in each generation, because why? We have a lot of advancements in technology. And you know what? Brother Andrew Peary was here, Brother James was here before him. And when we were out together, Brother James was looking at the burger, why are the women dressing like this? Why are the women dressing like this? Young girls and old women too, they're dressing like this. You know how they dress, don't you? They're dressed short. They're dressed short. Walking around in short and a t-shirt. And I remember years ago, go back to the 1960s and 70s, you don't see it. But now you are seeing them here. Brother James Bell was asked, what's wrong with these people? Why are they dressed like that? Where all this kind of dress could come from? People don't have a sense of dignity anymore. You sit in the MRT, across you, the row of seats, you see young girls sitting in shorts, crossing their legs, fat legs, thin legs, spider web legs,
sunlight makes, they're just exposing themselves like that. You know, what dignity? We're looking at the world that is in sin. Evils abound.
Oh yes.
The corruptions are more today than ever before. And we see the technology that came into the market, into the world today. What happened to all this technology? People are using to scam another person, like another person. The Bible tells us that it's true. In the last days, sins abound. And yet the power of the Bible tells us, but the grace of God do much more abundantly in our life. That's why we need more of the grace. And in doing so, we must have faith, because God is proving us. Huh? As Paul said in Romans chapter 5:20, the earth is prevailing. Prevailing to deliver. And in Revelation chapter 12, prevailing what? The woman. Prevailing delivering the man child. See? Yes, the whole world is prevailing. So, as we read in the first three, the other verses just now about the three, the senses. We must always remember to walk as spiritual man or woman, not as sensual man. We want to express God on this earth. Which we ought to. Alright, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. And I believe this is one of the this book of Ephesians is one of the most beautiful books. Because Ephesus, the church in Ephesus, the one that's the headquarters of Paul. That's the church that Paul founded. And these people are well taught. They know more because Paul was there. They are founder, their pastor, so to speak. So they had a good revelation, understanding. But yet, in every church, there is the weakness, all right, of in certain way there are certain particular weakness. But this is one of the best epistles that you could ever read regarding how they have this understanding, how the Paul have taught them the mysteries of God. Verse 1, Paul an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now here, just to read what Paul wrote here, we can see how he taught the people about the Godhead. And when we, now, we've got to be honest with ourselves when we read the Bible that when you say something like this, you cannot argue against it. Okay, now I know that Brother Clement's brother goes to a church, and there are churches in Singapore that's called Trinitarian. And there is a logo that says, we are Trinitarians. Now, when you have a logo to say that we are Trinitarians, you definitely are Trinitarians. No matter how, no matter what you say that you believe one God, that is not true. You are Trinitarian. You believe in three gods. You get it? Wonder why you call it, we are Trinitarians. What are we? We are Bible believers. We are saints of God. Why call yourself, we are Trinitarian? That means specifically you make the point that if you don't believe in Trinity, you go to hell. That's what Trinitarian teaches. That's what the Catholic taught. The Catholic tells the denomination that you have our doctrine, because they are the ones that produce the Trinity. And Trinity is not in the scripture.
Here the Bible tells us, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If God the Father is the Father of Lord Jesus Christ, so who is Jesus? Can he be equal with the Father? Correct? No? You may be the Son. Yes, you are equal with your Father in the sense that you are human. If your Father is God, you are equal with God in the sense that you are also a God. But not that you are equal with God in the sense that He is subject to you and you subject to Him. There is no way. Isn't that so? When the Bible Spirit said that the Father of Lord Jesus Christ is always in subjection to the Father. He cannot order the Father around. The Father orders sons around. If Jesus is equal to the Father in the sense as the Trinitarian taught, teaches it, then Jesus doesn't have to pray to the Father. He doesn't even have to subject himself to the Father. He just said, I refuse to die. Why must I be the one to die? Gotta surrender them. So the understanding of the Godhead is not so easy for these people. When they are so deep in tradition, that's not why you can have to come out from tradition. You've got to come out from the system in order to see the Bible anew. Because why? Every Christian today, let me say this, practically every Christian, except for those who are new to the, you come directly to the message, huh? It's different. But if you are a Christian, you go to Baptist church, Lutheran church, Pastor, whatever church, you know what you attend to do. Your mind has become corrupt. You are taught all these things that you sit under every Sunday, whatever services you go. Then whenever you approach the Word of God, your mind is already crowded with it. With all this traditional doctrine. So when you approach the Word of God, you are interpreting the Word of God by what you have been taught. Isn't that true? You approach the Word of God by what you have been taught. I remember that, I know at least some of you who are Chinese, I'm not sure about the Indian, who come from a background of idol worshiper. If a daughter or a son wanted to be a Christian, okay, the mother sometimes, you know, give up, say, okay, thank you. Okay, you can go to church, but don't get baptized. You know why? Because once you're baptized, to them you have crossed the line. You're already considered there. You cannot come back. A lie of no return, that sort of thing. I don't know where they get that from. Maybe that's what the idol worshippers have been taught by the priests. I don't know. But you see how strong tradition is that ties a person. But here is the mystery that God, through Moses, showed to the children of God, the saints in Ephesus. So they know about the Godhead. And why even Jesus clearly told a woman, Mary and Magdalene out there in the sepulchre. You know what? He said, don't touch me. Haven't go up to my Father and my God, your Father and your God. So Jesus worshipped the same God as we worship. How to understand? Jesus worshipped the same God we worship. The same God we call Father, He called Father. Now you're a Trinitarian sitting here and think we're talking nonsense. But the Bible is clear. Why can't they look at the Bible? Why is He called the Son and God called the Father? That's why I said there's no such thing as Trinity, 33.333% of each Father, Son, Holy Ghost, each of them have, you know, one third part of all. And they're all equal. Well, what if they're all equal, then how come the Son is subject to the Father? And what is the Spirit?
People still think that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is another Spirit besides God. Yeah. So, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Bless us with all spiritual blessing, not just some. All spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. People say, yeah, there is a place for me in heaven. I well know that there is a place for me in heaven. But you know what he said? Bless us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And Paul in another place said, you are sitting in heavenly places. Even right now, you are sitting in heavenly places. You know that? You know, we are a people, we are a citizen of two worlds. You all know. Are you aware that you are a citizen of two worlds? Every time I walk down the streets, I know that I'm walking in this world, which is natural. But while walking down the road, because my spirit is in contact with the Lord and God is with me, I'm living in another world. It depends how much you live in that other world. Huh? That's why you're singing and making melodies in your hearts to the Lord, as Paul said, in another place. Huh? Isn't it? Yes. Speaking to the Lord in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Anywhere you go, you talk to the Lord, you are in that other dimension. Yeah. That's why our senses, our spirit must always be sensitive to that other dimension. And you know what? It has been said by a lot of church leaders that in the last century, Brother Abraham's century, this is the 21st century already, that Brother Abraham was so sensitive. They call him the most spiritual man. He said, very sensitive to the spiritual things. Right? Yes. And I believe the same with all. Like Enoch, for example, the Bible don't tell us. The Bible says Enoch walked with God, and he was not. He must be walking because he must be very sensitive to that other dimension. That when he sees the thing that was happening at that time, he really know how bad it was. He was so sensitive that he was aware and he knew what he is going to. So, be very sensitive to the voice of the Spirit. Be sensitive to that other dimension because God is doing a work in your life. Verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. He has chosen us. Remember here that He has chosen us. We have not chosen Him. Remember this, because when we go over to this verse in chapter 2, go with me to that, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You understand? We are His workmanship. You know what a workmanship is? I designed this pulpit. I designed the way I wanted it. And then I asked in the hospital where I was working, the rehabilitation office for the mentally sick. And there's a carpenter who was teaching them. And so I designed the way I wanted it. And he looked at it and then he asked the patient, you know, he's teaching on carpentry, to build it. So when it was finished, of course it was all right. Wasn't, of course, you know, just training for them. So to me, it was satisfactory. It was a good workmanship as far as I'm concerned. So this is the workmanship. Workmanship is something that has been, well, done on, make up, and worked on, you know, to produce, whatever. But we are God's workmanship. We are not working ourselves, you know, trying to make ourselves like what, you know, the way we should be. No, we are God's workmanship. All you have to do is follow the instructions of God in our life and live it. And that's what God is doing through us. The disciple asked Jesus Christ, what must we do to work the works of God? And Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom God sent. That's what you have to do. What must we do to do the works of God? They want to do the works of God. Yeah, everybody wants to do the work of God. I want to do work for God. But God said, and Jesus said, this is the word of God. Do you believe on Him He sent? He didn't say, well, this is the work you should do if you want to do for me. This is what you should do. No. You believe in what God, believe in the man whom God sent. Because why? The word of God comes through those men that God sent. And give it to you, the truth. And you receive the truth, you live it. Live the life. Follow the instruction of it, and you get it. Because God is doing a work in your life. You see how simple it is. Paul, not that what Paul said, what Jesus said. You know what I find that verse? Okay, not the book of John. I believe it's in John. Let's see, John. Okay, John chapter 6. Alright, and I say it's here in verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. See, what a difference. What shall we do that we might work God's work? And Jesus said, this is the work of God. You believe on Him whom God sent. If He sent John the Baptist, you believe on him. If God sent Jesus, believe on him. If God sent Paul, you believe on him. Whomever God sent His men, who are ordained according to Him, you believe on Him, what He teaches you, look in the Scripture, be true, live the life and just obey. Believe it. See? You know one thing here, we have an anti-message, what a mess. Everybody thinks that they want to be preacher of an anti-message because they think they know the truth. And people are running this way and that way. I know a pastor over in the Philippines a long time ago. When I used to go back there in the 1890s, and after one day, he didn't correspond with me for a long time. Nothing happened. I don't know what happened. And recently, in the last 2 months or so, he wrote me. And said, Brother, please send me some books and all that stuff and this and that. I always sent to him. And he shared with others. And other pastors sent me. I received 2 emails yesterday. 2 days ago, that we really understand this truth now. You know. And it has been true. People have thrown away my book, discard my book. After many years later, then they realize it's true. What is written there? Wasted years, wasted life. I backslid for 2 years. Back in those days, 2 years of wasted life for Christ. My life I live, I don't want to waste it. My life is with Christ. God wants me and wants you to be fruitful. So He has predestined, He has called, He has chosen us before the foundation of the world. That means He knew it. He already had a plan. He sees you before you exist. He sees you before you were born. He saw your life. Why He chose you is His choice. Why the other He did not choose? I mean, choice is up to God, huh? Remember Jesus had 12 disciples? And he said, I've chosen you, not have I not chosen you, and one of you is the devil? So people, when you tell people that, some Christians will not understand the Bible. Say, oh, you're telling me that everything is God planned by God, and he chose Judas to be a devil and all these things. Don't you know what the Bible says? You mean to tell me that God chose to allow this world to go through all this problem with the people dying with AIDS and Ebola disease and all that? God knew what's going to happen. He didn't choose it for this Ebola to attack the people and make them to die. Ebola disease and all kinds of diseases in the world today was a result of the fall. And the sins of man, with all this pollution, changes a lot of things. Even recently, this flu that is in Hong Kong, that killed how many people? Remember the SARS that came to Singapore, I don't know how many years ago, now I forgot. How many people died in other countries, and Singapore controls them? Yes? You don't know what disease will come. The Bible talks about plagues that are going to come. God knew it will happen, and God's not going to stop it until he fulfills his word. You mean God don't have compassion, no feeling for suffering, or he does? If he said he doesn't, then you should see him hang upon the cross. You should see him go through the passion. See? We were human beings, are carnal. We always argue against anything that they don't like. Anything that opposes their so-called philosophy, their self-righteousness. You know? Yes. But always remember, as a Christian, we are a child of God. God is God. Right? He's the Creator. He's Almighty. He do whatever he will. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. All the mystery of his purpose. Why? Why did he reject Jacob and Esau have he hated? Anyone, there are twins, identical twins that you probably have heard of in real life. And one of them becomes a Christian, the other one rejected God. Why? Why myself and my other twin brother lost? In this life you feel the pain because you are aware. But when you cross over to the other side, all tears and all bad memories will be removed. You will no longer, you will not remember you have a twin brother. Your father, your grandfather who are not believers, you will not remember them ever existed. God will wipe away all tears and only good memories will remain. Because of his workmanship, there's a purpose of God working in us. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That we should be holy without blame before him. Too much to ask, huh? But Paul is the introduction is here. But Paul said that we are blessed with spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus according as he has predestined us, chosen us. If you have done it, if God has chosen you, God, you have chosen me, I thank you for eternal life. But you know, so difficult to walk this life, difficult to live a holy life. We won't do that, right? And it's not true. Yeah, we want a good thing in life, we want to be saved, but why do we have to go through such a hard life? Why can I do what other people are doing? You see, we talk like this is because we don't realize yet. If we ever talk like this. If we don't realize yet that we are as a clay, the potter is shaping us. Huh? And when the potter is shaping us, of course, when he shapes us, we are being moved around like this way, that way. Why are you doing this to me? Why move this way and that way? I can't do this, I can't do that. But he's shaping us the way we should. But the problem is the five senses that we have. This is the carnal life. We are so aware of this life that we don't realize that we are the citizen of the other world. That we always, that's not we always wish we mindful. Mindful of what God had done for us. Yes, mindful of his handiwork in our life. Working our life. That we should yield. Not easy. The clay is always like that. If the clay is not of the proper consistency. You know, when the potter takes the clay, do you know that he just don't just take a lump? He has to actually make sure that all this whole lump is evenly, you know, have a certain amount of water mixed with the clay. Huh? Not one side is too dry, one side is too wet. It's a yield to the potter's hand. And everything will be nice and easy. But we want to be, we want the part of ourselves, we want to do this for ourselves, it's going to be hard. See, it's never an easy road in the Christian life. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, having predestinated us until the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Well, that's God's pleasure. He do it. It's just like this. You some parent who husband and wife couldn't give birth. They're childless. They want to adopt children. So they go and choose. Obviously, I can tell you 100%. If you want to adopt a child, you will look at all the baby, you want to find the background of the baby, you want to make sure the baby is healthy. Yes. Yes, sir. Correct? That the baby is born alright, he can hear, he has good eyesight, everything is tested. You want to go out there and go out to look at the baby and this one is so sickly. Okay, let me adopt this one. How many people will do that? How many people would do that? Especially as a child. Not like the story we know about the boy who wanted a dog. He went to a dog's compound. You know, not really a dog compound, but a dog for sale actually. On the roadside in the farm, and they were all in a basket of the puppies. He knelt down there and looked for the one that he liked. And here the farmer came, looking at the boy, kneeling down there looking at the dog, and he was attracted to one dog that was limping. And the dog, you know, he was so taken up by the dog, the dog that limped, and he carried, and he told the father, he said, I want this one. And the farmer told the boy, no, you don't want that, son. It limps. He limps. You take the other one. Take this healthy one. No, he said, no, I want this one. So when he stood up, then the farmer realized that this boy was crippled too. There is an attachment because he was crippled. He walked with the limp. So he sees his dog walk with the limp. He realized how much there is a relationship. Now that's a dog. But when you adopt a child, it's different. You, nobody wants to look at a child who is crippled. Okay, I'll take this one. He said, but still, it's a man's choice. We choose to choose what we want. according to our own good, our own will and good, our own pleasure. Just like the boy who's crippled. He wanted that dog that is crippled, he wanted it because he could relate it. It's for his own pleasure. God chose you. Not because you are healthy looking, handsome looking, you are good. No. On the other hand, they choose you because you are bad. They choose you because you are a sinner. What do I have to say? His choice. He wants to shape you according to his own good pleasure. So that we can be adopted to Jesus Christ to be his children. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, so that we all can have our sins forgiven, have eternal life. Others who have not chosen do not have it. Unfair, unfair, unfair. What's there to be unfair about? God did not come, Jesus Christ did not come into the world to save everybody. He died for sinners, yes. He didn't come to save everybody. That's not the doctrine of the restoration of all things. Many people have misread it. What Peter talked about in the book of Acts. And even what Brother Graham talks about, the restoration of all things, people have taken up restoration of doctrines. That everything Brother Graham said is already there, restored. And those people will believe that restoration of all things. What restoration of all things? I've discussed it with two persons before. They believe that everything that from the day that Adam was born, or was made or created, until when Jesus Christ come in the new heaven, new earth, everything will be restored back. In the millennium, we'll be given a second chance for those to pass away. People like Hitler, people like Mao Zedong, Pol Pot, all these other bad guys. They'll be given a second chance. They have all different kind of interpretation. But the final result is they believe, they say this, the restitution or restoration of all things that ever exist. Even animals. The serpent will be restored back. Every chicken that you kill and eat will be restored back. Every cockroach that you step on, every ant, everything that will be restored back. Where does that doctrine come from? Because they have misread the Bible. And they think, oh, that's a great revelation. Not so. See, the mystery of God's purpose is not with everything. The mystery of God's purpose is everything concerning you and concerning me. Because we are chosen by Him. That makes the difference. We'll close in another verse or two. Wherein he have abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worked all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Who first trusted in Christ? And all the Gentiles. And all the Jews, they rejected, so we are in a very privileged people who, the Gentile people, they actually saw the gospel.
As a nation of people, we say the gospel, accept it. Because God planted the Jew for a time being, planted Israel for a time being. Only those elect apostles in Zephyr, they saw it in a few hundred or thousand, but then they rejected it. As later on, I can see the children of Israel rejected it. So God said to Paul, now I send it to the Gentile. You'll be a light unto the Gentile. So the Gentile was very privileged to receive this gospel. Verse 9. Here he said, having been brought on the mystery of his will. That I think we should know. The mystery of his will. According to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. Mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, nothing else. What he desired, what he had purposed. And it's all about us. Remember? It's all about us. In relationship to Christ Jesus. Because in Christ Jesus we are adopted. Then in the dispensation of fullness of time, that he might gather together all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are in earth, even in him. Everything which belongs to God in relation to us, his plan and purpose, will be gathered back to the Lord. In whom we have obtained an inheritance. What is that inheritance? I hope you did not forget. What is that inheritance? In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being produced according to the purpose of him who worked all things after the counsel of his own will. After the counsel of his own will. What was an inheritance that we have obtained from God? He says that we have an inheritance. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. In whom? Who is whom? Whom is Christ, right? In whom we have obtained an inheritance. What is an inheritance? Now, if a father died, the son, the firstborn son, always get an inheritance in the Bible. We all know that. It's an ancient time. Okay, so what inheritance did we get from Christ? You see, I'm the father. Now I have a son, I have a daughter. And I have Adam, my grandson. So now if I have lots of money or lots of property, so I write a will, not an inheritance, right? So, how would this will be in effect? How would my inheritance be given? It's only when I die. The inheritance, the will has no effect if the person who writes the will is still alive. Isn't it so? Okay, so Jesus Christ had written a testament. So when he died, there was the testament in force. Is that right? And what is that inheritance he gave to us? What is that something that he gave to us? What? Come on! His name! The name that the Father gave to him, he gave to us. That's why we got to worry about this that we put on his name. That's the inheritance. Because we don't have the name of Yahweh or Yahshua, then we don't belong to him. That's why we say adoption of children. If I adopt a child who is not mine, I will have to give him my name. Is it not true? Yes. So Christ has given us his name when he died. In my name you do this. In my name. Isn't it so? Whatever soever you do, do it in the name of the Lord. Let the Bible say. In the name of Jesus Christ is eternal life. So you have obtained an inheritance. If you have forgotten that, go and read the book. In his hand, in the saints. That one thing that we have obtained. How precious is it? And the Lord bless you and close you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Bless the word, Father, be spoken. Bless the word that you have given us, Lord. And we're keeping our heart, Father. Growing thy grace, truly. We know you're still working on us.
You're not through with us, you're still shaping, Lord.
Amen.
And the Lord, we're grateful. But help us, Father, that even in this little time left for us, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus, may we walk, Father, with consciousness, Lord, with sensitivity, Father, of your presence around us. We know, Lord, we just living in this world that's not our home, passing through, and we are so much taken up by the five senses, with the things around us, Lord, and we are feeding on it. But we ask of you, Lord, that the spiritual man that we are, that we be always feeling your presence, walk with you, knowing that you're always with us, Father. Because one of these days, Lord, we know you're going to come speaking to us. And we know I need to speak to us every day, even as we walk with you and talk with you. Even though we sit down to eat, we want you to share with us, oh Lord, at the table. When we are alone feeding on your word, we want you to be there with us, Father, to fellowship with us. And on all things, oh Lord, be conscious of your presence. So we ask for your grace now. Continue to help us and guide us, Lord. And we grow up to be more like Jesus. Be conforming to his image of Christ. Father, we thank you for today. We ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.